Hello and welcome back to Highly Successful Couples, the show that helps couples grow together instead of growing apart. I'm your host, Nick Solacek, and in today's episode, we're going to talk about aliveness in your relationship. This is a complimentary episode, a part two, if you will, to last week's conversation on safety. So aliveness is not just surviving the day-to-day, but actually feeling lit up, curious, turned on by life and each other. And if that's not how things are feeling right now, that's okay. We're going to create some insight and awareness today that can help you out. It doesn't mean your relationship is broken, but it does mean that it might be time to pay a little more attention. So let's dig in. What is aliveness in relationship? I love the way that Esther Perel talks about this. She says that, you know, most of us don't really understand what aliveness is. What are those characteristics and qualities that really bring a sense of passion and playfulness and presence and joy online for us? So I'm going to break down five pillars today that I believe really kind of shape an accurate description of aliveness in a way that's helpful for couples. Esther likes to say that, you know, some of us think that aliveness means simply not being dead, but truly being alive is simply, it's just a lot more than that, you know? And so when we talk about aliveness, we're not just talking about sex or date nights. We're talking about the spark that makes you lean in instead of check out, or the energy that makes you want to bring yourself or your full self to the relationship. The pulse of passion and purpose and possibility between two people that makes you feel like, yes, you know, I love this relationship. I want to be in this relationship. I'm excited about our future. Harville Hendrix once said that relationships need two things, safety and aliveness. As I mentioned in the previous episode, safety is what makes it stable, but aliveness is what kind of makes it worth staying in. Because we can feel safe in our relationships. Many of us are with partners that make us feel safe, but then we're lacking some spark. We're lacking some excitement. So it's kind of like, I don't know, oxygen in the room. Without it, the relationship might look fine on the outside, but inside we can be yearning for something more. And things can feel pretty flat. Lifeless. That's probably why they pump oxygen onto casino floors to keep your eyes wide and keep a little pep in your step. So in the free download that accompanies this episode in the show notes, the tool is called the Connection Compass. I break down aliveness into five core areas. And for those of you that are looking for support on your relationships this summer, quick moment here just to plug my work, because this show is no ads, no BS, no sponsors. I'm offering a free coaching session. Anyone who hasn't worked with me before, if you want to get started, you're curious, you got questions, you're looking for some support, send me a message, let me know, and we'll put something in the calendar. All right, so let's walk through these five pillars of aliveness. The first is passion. And again, these are not listed in order of priority. They are all important, and it's simply for you to inquire about where there could be some growth opportunities, where you are yearning for more in your relationship. And passion doesn't just mean sexual heat, right? It means being connected to life, your hobbies, your dreams, your enthusiasm. When you feel lit up individually, right? And when you feel lit up individually, that spills into the relationship. You bring more vitality to the table. So a couple things to consider here is, like, when's the last time you felt excited about something? And are you aware of that? Does your partner recognize or see that in you? Or maybe they see a lack of aliveness in certain ways. This is really like cultivating joy and desire for life. So connected to interests, hobbies, excited to get out of bed in the morning because you're up to something that, you know, you care about. And it's also developing a healthy relationship to your sexuality. That's part of it. I believe that passionate people are also engaged and expressive, not just in the bedroom, but in life. So the questions that are attached to this episode, the questions that are attached to this workbook, are going to help you dig a little bit deeper into, where could you cultivate more passion? Are you wanting more of that from your partner in certain ways? What would that look like? And this is where a lot of our growth lives, is like in being able to articulate and identify these things, to ask for what we want in positive terms, because we get so focused on the things that are not working. Okay, number two, purpose, having a definite aim in life or a reason for existing. So if you feel a sense of purpose, you might feel a clear sense of how you want to be in the world, how you want to use your time on this planet. Even if you work a job that like isn't your favorite, it can still have purpose for you because of how you show up or the aims or the goals that it serves. And maybe you feel a deep purpose in terms of providing for your family. All individuals and all relationships benefit from having a clear, exciting reason for being. And that includes relationship goals, aspirations, things you're working towards. This idea of purpose is also really connected to one of the main reasons relationships fail, which we've talked about before, relationship vision, right? That is the clearly identified and stated purpose for this relationship. Apart from the fact that we love each other, why are we together? What is this about? What do we want to create? So for all of us, purpose gives direction, and it's also knowing why you're in the relationship and what you're building. Purpose is like an antidote to boredom and drift, because we have a mission. And sometimes that changes, it's refined, it's updated, but most couples just aren't in touch with it. So you can ask yourself, what's something that we're working towards, that we both want to work towards? And what kind of couple do we want to become? And can all of our behaviors, the things we think, the things we do, the things we say, start to motivate these outcomes, right? In terms of what we're working towards, who we want to become. All right, the next is presence. And when I put this together, it occurred to me that in the present moment, in the here and now, if we can really get there, that there's also a sense of safety, But there's also this sense of like awareness and openness and curiosity. When we're present with our partner, when they're present with us, we also, just feel this kind of like we're really there with them without distraction. So we feel our ability and our partner's ability to be in the present moment. And this can be a real hot topic because we can get so focused on everything that's going on in our screens, on our phones, distracted, busy, 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 go, go, go. And we can lack that kind of deeper quality of presence. And it's hard to feel alive when your partner is always distracted. So this presence brings in these really important qualities of being seen, felt, like heard, received, without the TV, the phones, the distractions, and without some kind of pretense. So next time you are with your partner, maybe notice what's going on. Like, am I really being present? Maybe we can cultivate a practice space, or we can do things together without our phones, whether that's talking or walking or other things, looking each other in the eye. Advanced practices could be eye gazing together, or some other kind of somatic couples practice, or even like just massaging your partner, like can require you to be present with them, assuming we've turned off distractions and we're really there. I certainly find that that's a helpful tool for me and my partner. It's just like setting 10 minutes aside to give each other a massage. It doesn't need to be a whole hour. Okay, number four, playfulness. This is having a sense of humor, being lighthearted. A playful person might be full of fun and adventurousness and open to spontaneous decisions from time to time. can also mean really just not taking life so seriously, right? Having a little bit of a sense of play. And for some of us, this is a huge opportunity because play is underrated. Life gets serious. Bills, taxes, obligations, things to do, grocery shopping, dishes and chores. But play is one of the things that can make our relationships feel light. And maybe we have silly inside jokes, impromptu dance parties in the living room, or something else. You play a card game, but simply that, play reminds our nervous system that connection can be safe and fun, and it doesn't need to be anything advanced. Like me and my partner, we have our inside jokes and songs we sing about the dog, to the dog, even though she just stares at us, has no idea what we're talking about. So we think, we'll play a game of cards in the backyard for an hour where we just kind of get into flow and play. And we're not talking about any of the serious stuff in our relationship or the goals that we have or the challenges that we face. We just, get a chance to hang out, right? So you got to discover what helps you feel playful. What are some things you and your partner could do together? What makes you laugh together? What kind of activities bring on that sense of just like playing and having a good time? Number five, positivity. This is having an uplifting, confident, and optimistic perspective most of the time. A positive person possesses the ability to reframe negative events in a useful or helpful way. And I'm not talking about toxic positivity, right? I'm not talking about always saying, oh, look on the bright side. Oh, don't worry, it's all going to work out. Because these kinds of statements like dismiss our partner's reality often. People often don't feel attuned to when people say things like that. I'm saying, positivity is not fake. It's warm, appreciative, grateful. And these are qualities that we generally all benefit from feeling, gratitude for what we've got, appreciative of the things that our partner does do. And we want this from each other, right? We want our partner to feel warm and receptive and appreciative and, acknowledging. This doesn't mean ignoring problems. Okay. It doesn't mean putting your blinders on all the time and burying your head in the sand, but it's cultivating that energy. That's oriented towards what's possible. So there's kind of like that gratitude, generosity. And the thing about reframing events, you build aliveness by reframing, by noticing what's working, by catching your partner doing something right instead of doing something wrong, which is what all of us tend to do. So passion, purpose, presence, playfulness, and positivity. Very big deals. These are the five pillars. There are things that certainly kill aliveness, right? Chronic stress, unresolved resentment, buried hurts from the past, things that have gone unresolved. We can certainly be disconnected from ourself. We can have our own kind of embodiment problem. We can feel totally fractured by the stress of life, the noise of social media and geopolitics and things that go on. And we can be just not really deeply connected to us. And if you are coming out of a breakup or you've had a breakup before, you have been there where it's like, I feel like I lost myself. And you really have this sense that like, whoa, like who am I and what's my life about? And we can experience that in relationships. We just don't always see it this way. It's like, I'm kind of not connected to me. Also, we can have safety, as I talked about in the last episode, but we can really also lack spontaneity, so we can feel safe, but not really that alive. And one of the paradoxes is that the safer that we feel, the more we crave freedom and novelty, the more we crave adventure and like doing something fun. But if we pursue that novelty without safety, we can, in some instances, end up creating chaos. So we need both qualities. And one without the other leads to imbalance. It's like We can feel a lot of aliveness in our relationship. We can have a lot of money. We can have a lot of play. We can have really amazing sex. But then the safety isn't there. Like, we can deceive each other or lie. We might not follow through on certain things. And we can have this sort of turbulence, this volatility in our relationship. And for some of us, that can be intoxicating and exciting, even if we see that it's not totally good for us. So we need both. And getting aliveness back doesn't mean a complete relationship overhaul. It might just mean making some small adjustments, like rediscovering your own spark, taking a small risk every week together, trying something new. And for some of us, a risk could just be trying a restaurant we haven't been to before. I'm not saying you got to go bungee jumping, but you could. And inviting each other into presence instead of what might usually go on, wearing our masks, going on, being on autopilot, performing, people pleasing in some way. Finding ways to drop into the moment together. So if you are listening to this thinking, yeah, sounds good, Nick, I want more of that, here's one thing that you could try today or tonight, tomorrow. And it's answering these questions. What's one thing that brought me joy recently, inside or outside this relationship? When's the last time I felt really, really happy? What's one area where I feel dull or disconnected? And what's one thing that I'd love to do with my partner that might feel exciting, even if it's a small thing? So, again, it doesn't need to be a whole relationship overhaul, but answer these questions, take some notes. And if you're listening to this in the car or you're busy, you don't have time to do that, download the accompanying workbook to this episode, The Connection Compass. You do not have to wait for your relationship to be on the rocks to work on things or reawaken your aliveness. Some couples wait way too long to get started on this stuff. So if you're here, you're a regular listener to the show, hey, you're on the way. You've already gotten started. These kinds of things are something that we need to tend to together. Just like a garden, it needs our attention, a little sunlight, creativity, our care and nurturance. And if you're in a tough spot, relationships can grow. It's just that they need to be nurtured. They need to be carefully tended to. If the garden is dying, then it needs regular attention, right? We can't keep doing the same things that got us into the position that we're in. We need to do things differently. All right. So once again, if this conversation has stirred something in you, you find this interesting, you want to talk more about it, go download the Connection Compass. It is free, if I didn't already say that, and it will walk you through your own self-assessment on not only aliveness, but also safety. Link is in the show notes. As always, thank you for being here, and I look forward to speaking with you again next week.